it's really about who can sort of minimize the mistakes and make the least amount of mistakes and just sail a really smart series.
For the best Olympics coverage, subscribe to the OTB Highlights podcast feed on the OTB Sports app now.
Paddy Andrews, Dublin have won their 11th provincial title in a row on a scoreline of 20-9 against Kildare. This is the third time you've watched Dublin in action so far this year for off the ball. Have you seen major improvements?
Look, I think today was kind of just cruise control really for Dublin. They probably never really got out of third gear. I think the way Kildare set up probably played into that a bit as well. It was quite defensive from them, and look, Dublin did what they do. They kind of got their noses in front and then would keep the ball for long periods of play. Maybe something for Desi Farrell to look at is kind of, is there a big impact coming off the bench? No goals today. They didn't really look like scoring a goal either. So sort of a couple of things, like I say, relatively comfortable win, but definitely a couple of things for Desi to look forward to over the next 2 weeks in preparation for Mayo.
We'll start with the good. In the third quarter this time, against Mead, I've been talking about Mead's third quarter for a long time now, but against Mead, Dublin let control of the game go. They were 4 points up at half time and they come out in the second half. Daniel Flynn landed a bomb on his right foot to put 3 points between the teams. Dublin went on to score 6 of the next 7 points. What impressed you over that third quarter?
Yeah, look, I thought some of the key plays, that James McCarthy had an excellent game around midfield. Dublin put a huge pressure on Mark Donnellan's kickouts, and that really gave them a platform as well. But Niall Scully kicked 2 points. Kieran Kilkenny really came to the fore at that point, because look, for Dublin, it was probably like as quiet a game as you'll see from Brian Fenton and Conor Callaghan, but that's the beauty of Dublin, is that other guys can step up, like Kilkenny, like James McCarthy, and they just did. They took control of that game, and even after Daniel Flynn's goal, and you think, Jesus, there might be a bounce in the last 10 minutes from Kildare, Dublin just took this thing out of the game again, kept possession and worked the ball for a couple of Cormac Costello points as well. So look, it was a very kind of street smart game by Dublin, if it wasn't the most spectacular.
The quiet performances by Conor Callaghan and Brian Fenton are probably going to come under the spotlight over the next 2 weeks before the Mayo game. 13 days now till the All-Ireland semi-final against Mayo. Why aren't they clicking, or why aren't they in flying form in a provincial final?
Look, I just think, more so than David Clifford last week with Kerry, you have such high standards for these guys, particularly Fenton and Conn, two of the greatest players Dublin have ever had. So, look, a little bit quiet today, but I'd have no doubt or no worries about their form coming into the Mayo game in 13 days' time. And like I say, for Dublin as a whole, they've kind of cruised through not just the Leinster Championship, probably the whole season so far to date. They haven't really been tested or had to get out of third gear. That is definitely not going to be the case in the All-Ireland semi-final against Mayo. You've seen, I was really, really impressed with Mayo in their win over Galway. The athleticism, the energy, the running game. Dublin are going to have to up their intensity levels for that game. And look, they're so experienced. They know that themselves. And look, I think everyone's just looking forward to what should be two brilliant All-Ireland semi-finals between the four best teams.
We were speaking during the game, and in the previous 11 provincial titles that Dublin have won, they've always been favourites, but pretty much been favourites going into them over the last couple of years. Going into an All-Ireland semi-final or Super 8s or whatever way it was, it never really felt like Dublin were undercooked in any of those games. But when we're seeing the likes of Conn and maybe Fenton not hitting the heights that they previously hit before, we're seeing that uncharacteristic third quarter last week. How can Dublin use the next 13 days now to get themselves ready?
Oh, look, that's where the experience comes in. Like, even though it's Desi Farrell and Mick Galvin's only their second year in charge, a lot of those players, they've been there, they've done it, they know the crack. So over the next 13 days, it'll just be review the game today. Okay, what were the positives? There's definitely a couple of areas that they'd like to work on. But also, they know the challenge of Mayo as well. You know, they played each other so often over the last number of years, including last year's All-Ireland final. They'll have total respect for what Mayo are going to bring to the table. We've seen it. It was the most James Horden Mayo performance from them against Galway. All action, all energy. And look, any time Dublin play Mayo, it is a bruising encounter. You're going to have it very, very physical. It puts big demands on it. And that's where guys like James McCarthy, Brian Fenton, all these fellas, their experience will come in. They'll be ready to go in 13 days' time, despite, like say, if it's perceived a little bit quieter from Fenton and Conn today. They know exactly what's going to be required in 2 weeks' time.
On the football pod with Andy Moran a couple of weeks ago, you were speaking about being on the Dublin B team in training matches in the build-up to big games and trying to force your way onto the team, trying to do whatever you could to make it onto the starting 15. We've heard about Bernard Brogan and his book, and the battles he had to try and make it back in 2019. Do those training matches happen, those ferocious training games, do they happen over the next 2 weeks, or are they happening earlier in the season, or is that a chance for Dublin to set the tone over the next 2 weeks in those internal games?
Absolutely. I've no doubt. I'd say next weekend it'll be, they'll play a full game. And look, that's important because guys need to put their hand up and try and make an impact off the bench. And I suppose that's been challenged for Dublin over the last couple of weeks. Is the depth of the squad the same as it was maybe 4 or 5 years ago? Obviously, there's been a huge turnover in terms of players moving on and things like that. But that is something. If you look at the impact Mayo got off their bench, you look at what the impact the Kerry subs made last week as well in their Munster final. Dublin will be looking for that. And that's over the next 2 weeks, guys are going to have to put their hand up and train. And like Colin Baskell, like Sean Bugler coming on today. If Dublin are going to win the All-Ireland, you know, they are going to need impact from the bench, and we probably haven't seen as much of that as Dublin would have hoped over the last three games in the Leinster Championship.
We'll be previewing Dublin Mayo and Kerry Throne in depth on the Football Pod with Andy Moran over the next two Wednesdays and Tuesdays. I just forgot myself, it's a Tuesday now that the podcast is coming out first on the OTB Sports app. Get a wee plug in there. Let's talk about Kildare for a minute. We were here for the Leinster semi-final doubleheader, and Westmeath kicked an awful lot of wides that day, had a couple of goal chances. Kildare set up well defensively today, but they conceded the kick out. Now, Jack O'Connor said it was a necessary of two evils. Is any team ever going to beat Dublin by conceding the kick out?
I don't think so. And look, we touched on it on the pod earlier on this week when you make a case for Kildare and how can they possibly win this game. If you're going to beat Dublin, you have to be brave. And you look at the teams that have done well, like Mayo over the years, despite not getting over the line, they push Dublin to the pin of their collar every time, and you do that, but you have to be brave. You have to push up on with Stephen's kickouts or Evan Comfort's today. Yeah, and it does. I understand what Jack O'Connor means, that by doing that, you might have to leave yourself one-on-one with Conor Callaghan down the other end of the pitch, but that's the risk you have to take. You've got to back your defenders to win their individual battles, and you've got to push up and try and take Dublin out of their comfort zone. And look, you've seen what Meath did in the third quarter 2 weeks ago. They just threw caution to the wind. They were 11 points down, so they pushed up in the kickouts. They really got on Dublin's face and nearly didn't show them any respect. And that's ultimately what you're going to have to do. If you give Dublin the ball, they're too good and too experienced a team. They're not going to just kick it back to you. You've seen they go through these passes of play for 3-4 minutes of keeping the ball. That drains so much energy for the opposition. And look, to be honest, Kildare, yes, they were solid today, far more solid than they were against Westmeath. But ultimately, with 10 minutes in, you could just see they're going to struggle to get the scores on the board. To only get 1-9, look, that's the challenge. Yes, they're a little bit solid defensively, but they're taken away from the attacking game plan. I just don't think you can give Dublin the ball and expect to hurt them on the counter-attack. I just think they're too good and too experienced a team. You've got to try and push up and get in their face. And look, in 2 weeks' time, that's exactly what James Horne and Mayer are going to do. He knows the team inside out. So that's why it should be far more interesting in 2 weeks, I'd say.
In terms of Kildare's attacking game plan, Johnny Cooper sat back in a sweeper role for much of the first half in front of Daniel Flynn and Jimmy Hyland. Hyland scored a couple of lovely points, he kicked 4 overall. Daniel Flynn ended up at 1-2. Much like the semi-final, he had moments, that wonder goal again. Let's talk about Kildare's drop short, like the shots. There must have been 6 that dropped short. There were a couple of wides. The groans coming out of every part of the stadium when Kildare dropped another ball short was just, it was a killer for them. Is it a little old school to wonder or to even ask, is it not worth dropping that ball into the square? Is it not worth just trying to get a flick on? I asked Jack O'Connor in the post-match interview, and he said the man that they usually play inside like that is Kevin Feely, and they were missing him today. Daniel Flynn prefers to receive the ball up front. But what would you have done with Dublin? Would you have ever thrown Owen O'Gara in there? Would you have ever tried to hang in around the square for a ball dropping?
Well, look, it's totally dependent on the way you're set up. And for Kildare, look, we touched on it. For them to win this game, everything needed to go right. There was obviously a big blow losing Kevin Feely and Owen Doyle beforehand. We expected that. We knew they were going to be up against it. If they were going to have any chance today, Daniel Flynn needed to not just have one moment. He needed to dominate the game. And he probably didn't, despite scoring an absolutely spectacular goal. McNeil Flynn only scored a point, was taken off. He's a key scorer for them as well. Jimmy Hyland was 4 points in the first half, including 2 from play. He was taken out of the game in the second half. And for Kildare, for them to win that game, everything needed to go right. They couldn't afford, they needed to shoot the lights out. And like I say, Ben McCormack, I think, had 4 misses himself in the first half. It's just, they were always going to be up against it, because they're not, the way they set up, they weren't going to get many chances. Everyone they got, they had to nail it, and they just couldn't do that in the second half. And look, the game was kind of petering out until Daniel Flynn got that goal, and you thought they might get a kick out of it, but that's where Dublin's experience came in and just killed the game off. But for Kildare, it's disappointing for them, because you feel like they didn't really fire a shot, and put a couple of long balls in if Kevin Feely was there. What, look, they probably could have tried something different, because they were just struggling for scores right from the get-go, really.
Two last quick questions, Paddy. Dublin got about 45-odd minutes into John Small today before he was taken off for Owen Merchant on a blood substitution, and Merchant stayed on for the rest of the match. Two massive players that are back from Dublin. How did you think the two of them got on today?
Yeah, look, it's very important for them both to get back. Like, particularly, we're talking about that, the depth of the Dublin squad. And look, they weren't really tested throughout the Leinster Championship, but if Dublin are going to win the All-Ireland and get over Mayo in 2 weeks' time, John Small and Owen Merchant are needed there. You've seen the energy Owen Merchant brings. John Small as well, they'll be happy. He had a long layoff, so for him to get 40 minutes in, and hopefully it's just a knock and it's nothing too serious. He's a huge man marker in that Dublin defence, particularly if you're looking at Mayo in 2 weeks' time. You'd imagine Kevin McLaughlin's probably done enough to start, and he'll be a key link player. John Small has marked him before. It could be on Dermot O'Connor. He's a key leader in that defence. So for Desi Farrell and Dublin supporters, it was brilliant to see those two guys back out on the pitch again, and it just gives them more options. Obviously, Robbie McDade is still out, and he wasn't in the squad today. It looks like he's probably a little bit longer term, but for the lads, they'll have two key roles in 2 weeks' time. So great to see them back out on the pitch today.
Last question. Dublin got their shooting boots on much more in the second half, but in the first half, saw a couple of block shots, a couple of uncharacteristic wides. As a forward, and as somebody who's been part of that culture in the Dublin squad over the last decade, like, is there an element of over-analysing it as a forward? Like, what should they do over the next 13 days to make sure they're on form?
No, I think the biggest thing to look at, were they the right options? And that's it. Like, you can have a bad execution every once in a while, but I think the options were probably right. They weren't forcing the shots. It was just, again, and we've seen it over the last couple of weeks in the Leinster, a little bit uncharacteristic sloppiness, like Paddy Small getting blocked down, Conn dropping one short. It's like it's so rare that when you see it stands out. But for them, I think they were the right options. It was just poor execution, and the guys will definitely be sharpening the axe over the next 2 weeks, because they're going to need to nail those options. They're not going to be as much time on the ball. Mayo are going to be in Dublin's face, so you've got to be really, really clinical. But look, they still scored 20 points today. Little drawback, there was no real goal chances, but look, I think Costello, Kieran, Dean Rock racking up scores, and that's only a good step for 2 weeks' time.
Apart from the groundskeepers and the Seagulls, we're two of the last here in Croke Park. Are you looking forward to the All-Ireland quarter or semi-final in 2 weeks' time?
Oh yeah, look, I think both semi-finals are going to be absolutely brilliant games. We've been crying out for it, we're talking about it. Everyone's probably waiting for these games to come along, and if you look over the course of the season, I think it's the four best teams. Like, there's no two ways about it. You've got the four best teams in the semi-finals. Everything to look forward to. And I know a lot of people are already kind of tipping that it'll be Dublin and Kerry in an All-Ireland final. But look, I think Tyrone have huge momentum behind them, and after coming through a really tough Ulster Championship, and also the boost Mayo will have gotten from that second half performance against Galway. They'll come in confident. They do not fear playing Dublin. So James Horn will have those guys ready. I think they'll be two brilliant, brilliant games, and for everyone to look forward to.
Paddy Andrews, thank you very much. That's Dublin Leinster Champions 2021. They'll play Mayo next Saturday week, the 14th of August. Dublin Kerry will play Tyrone in the second semi-final. Paddy, we'll catch up with Andy Moran on the football pod later this week.